Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith back with you guys again for a Tuesday episode this week, following the holiday weekend. Hope you guys got out and kind of enjoyed the holiday. I don't know about kind of where you guys are at, but it was pretty nice weather here in West Michigan. I know there was kind of a bit of a threat of rain off and on, but overall, just super mild temps. And Labor Day weekend, at least in Michigan here, as you guys kind of know, kind of signifies the transition from summer to fall. And so this is kind of a big weekend for people to get in those last boat trips of the year, maybe last camping trips of the year. For me, I did not personally play any golf, but hopefully you guys did and got out and enjoyed the time. And, you know, I mean, we're back this week to last week on the pod. I covered a big golf course in Mac Legends, or Macatawa Golf Club, formerly known as Macatawa Legends. Spent about an hour on that podcast, so if you guys listened all the way through, mad props to you. That was one of my longer ones, and as time has gone on, and initially I was looking back in early episodes, 25 to 30-ish minutes was kind of my sweet spot, and I don't know if it's just because I've become more comfortable talking golf and kind of sharing different things with you guys, or if it's just, I don't know what it is, but we've been stretching them out lately. So, like I said, if you've made it through the last hour pod, then mad props to you guys. Hopefully you got out and at least considered scheduling a tee time at Mac Legends, because that's the Macatawa Golf Club. Let's try that one more time. Anyway, hopefully you guys got out and at least checked it out, because it's a great golf course. But this week we're going to talk the Mines. And the Mines is a super cool golf course just west of Grand Rapids, kind of between Grand Rapids and the Allendale, Standale area. And for being an awesome golf course, it's tucked away, kind of a little bit of hidden. And I know more people, I play a lot of golf, obviously. I'm talking to you guys about it, but I know more people that haven't played the Mines than have played the Mines. So I'm super stoked to bring this one to you guys. But before I do, you know the drill. Quick ad. And when we get back, I'll tell you about the Mines. All right, welcome back. Thanks for sticking it out through the ad, as always. And this podcast, as I kind of alluded to, last one was on the long side. This one I'm going to try and dial it back. Keep it tight. I don't know, an hour is a long time to ask for you guys to not only listen to me, but it's a long time for me to talk. So the Mines, I'm not going to sell it short, but it is an awesome golf course. I'm going to try and keep this a little tighter than usual. But one of my favorite things about the Mines, if you are familiar, awesome. If you're not, it's a really unique golf course, in my opinion. I know I play a lot of golf with a good buddy of mine. His parents owned the land and had sold it to the group that built the golf course. So him and his family have kind of lifetime privileges there. I get out there a lot with him. And so we play a good bit of golf together. And it's pretty competitive when we play. So it's a lot of fun. He edges me out a little more often than I'd like. But that's golf. And that's what motivates me to kind of keep getting out there and improving and trying to better my game. So, but the Mines itself, It's got a bit of a story to it, and that's kind of what I think is really cool. It's an older, not older golf course, but it's an old piece of property. The course itself is built on approximately 150 feet above the gypsum mines that were utilized back in the 1860s and the early 1900s, and so it's a cool piece of property that goes way, way back into time. Obviously, it was a gypsum mine far before it was a golf course. But what they did is, as they built the golf course, they used various features of the mines and of the mining process in construction of the golf course. So when you're out there, there's a pump house near the first tee that you'll see that was built with bricks that were saved from the property during the construction of the golf course. All the directional signs were made with old wooden timbers back from the mining process. And then the eighth hole, which is a par three, is actually located where there was a natural sand pit that was used during the mining operation as well. And even still to this day, the water that they use to irrigate the golf course is pumped directly up from the mines. So, obviously, the golf course is more than appropriately named. And, again, kind of like I mentioned, it's tucked between, just on the west side of Grand Rapids, between GR and the Allendale-Standale area, which has been awesome for me, because working downtown Grand Rapids-ish and living out in Coopersville, if I take the back roads and bug out of town, avoiding the highway and kind of the 5 o'clock traffic, I find myself passing this golf course more often than not. So one of my favorites, I play it a handful of times a year. Like I said, a good buddy of mine and I, we get out there quite a bit just because he's got the lifetime privileges, so you can't beat that. But not a terribly long golf course, I will say that. I kind of want to start with that feature. They've got four sets of tees. Championship tees are the blacks, then they've got the blues, the golds, the reds. And if you tip it out, it's 6,700 yards. So not super, super long by any means. Next tees up are the blues. You're looking at 6,100 and change. And then you got the golds and the reds for the seniors, the kids, the ladies, stuff like that. But it's a golf course where I've always played the black tees. And again, just because it's not super long. But what this course lacks in length, it provides in strategy and difficult green complexes. So the first hole, you're kind of looking at straight out the gate. It's a straightaway par four, 400-ish yards, not too long. Plays shorter because you can't see the landing area. You go out, and depending on how far you hit it, you will either end up on top of the hill and you'll be hitting downhill to the green, or you will hit your tee shot a little bit further and you'll catch the downslope and in turn run quite a ways down there. And so for me, traditionally, I hit driver on this hole. There's a tree line up the right, and then there's some trees on the left. But for me, if you hit driver far enough, you can get past all the trees on the left, which significantly widens the landing area. It's all rough down there. Hole one and two parallel each other. So if you miss left on one, you're just going to be in the left rough on two and all that. So not too terribly difficult. When I played there a couple weeks back, hit driver down the fairway. One of the few times, at least in that week or so that I was playing golf, where my first tee ball found the fairway. So that was a pleasant surprise. But left myself maybe 100 yards or so in, flipped a wedge onto the green, and ended up two putting for par. The first green at the Mines is kind of where it immediately kind of shows you, hey, we're going to be friendly off the tee. We're going to be friendly in our kind of landing areas and just kind of look of the approach, but we're going to bite when you hit the putting surface because huge green, this one in particular, just no shortage of slopes and undulation, which is going to ring true throughout the entire golf course. And thankfully, when we played front middle hole location, which is kind of a bit of a bowl, and if you're anywhere but front middle, you're going to have a putt. It's going to be tough. My buddy that I played with, he was on the back on the top tier, and the greens weren't too fast that day. And which I'm thankful for. Honestly, I love putting on fast greens, but the mines will kind of keep them dialed back a little bit more often than not. And I think it's because there is so much undulation, so much slope, and there's kind of so much treachery to them that if they had them running at, shoot, maybe 11, 12, I mean, even probably 10 on the stint meter, you're probably going to have a tough time putting. Just kind of being honest about that. So I feel like they usually keep the mines around, if I were to guess, 8-ish, maybe 9. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've worked golf course maintenance and done any stint meter stuff. And so I don't even know what I kind of predominantly play on these days, but usually they're quick, especially in competition. But big greens, and you just kind of want to make sure that no matter what, you're in the right places, the right locations. But one hole one is a very welcoming first hole. It's not going to cause you any trouble. Just like I said, straight away, slightly downhill, plays short, gives you a good opportunity to kind of get into the rhythm of the round. Hole two, another par four. This one's a little bit longer, 453-ish, 460. And again, probably doesn't really play that long because you kind of can aim. It's a straightaway hole, and there's a fairway bunker on the left side. But depending on how far you hit it, you could maybe cover it. Otherwise, if you hit a kind of a peel, a little bit of a fade off of that, it's going to put you in primo position. But it does squeeze the fairway pretty significantly at that fairway bunker. The goal is to get past it. If you get past it, again, just like hole one, you're going to kind of release and roll downhill, leaving yourself a significantly shorter shot. For me, it was a driver wedge again, and but a driver wedge is no bargain because this green has significant slope again. So even though this was a middle pin, it's just kind of a narrow green front to back. They do have some bunkering on the right side, so if you come up short right, you're going to catch the sand, or roughly front right. if the pin's in the front and you kind of end up pin high right, there's a good chance you're gonna be in the bunker. But unfortunately, I flipped the wedge a little long and had a downhill putt, and although the greens aren't fast, I perceived this one to be fast. So I hit this far, 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 far too soft and left myself about 4 feet short, 3.5, 4 feet short, and then lipped out the par putt. So I ended up making a bogey on two to go to one over. And so not the start you're looking for when you're looking driver wedge into the first two holes. But hey, it's okay. There's 16 holes left to go. So on to three, you're looking at another par four. And you kind of the mind gives you four par fours right out of the gate. So this one is a little bit tougher though, in my opinion. This one, even though it says 439 on the card, it plays longer because again, this hole runs east to west. You're going back into the wind, and it can be pretty darn windy. And the second shot's uphill to a green that you can't see. It's a huge, huge putting surface. So second shots or approach shots that are uphill to big greens, it's always hard to kind of gauge the depth of where the pin's at. Even if you shoot the number with a laser or and kind of if you've got a pretty good idea of front, middle, back, but still being a big green, it can be difficult to kind of dial it in and get the yardage right, give yourself a good look at birdie. So three is always to me a good par hole. Huge green, it's kind of got a front right section that's kind of by itself, but then there is a back shelf, and so if they shove that pin in the back, it can be very scary because there's not very much room long. And if you do bounce off the back, you are going to have a tough time getting up and down, especially to, well, I can't even say especially to, because if it's a back pin, it can be tough. If it's a front pin, even though you have more green to work with, you are pitching back downhill. And if you do happen to hit it too hard, again, with that green being elevated, if you go off the front, usually they keep the fairways a little bit longer, so it's not like it's super closely mown, but one of those where you probably don't want to run the risk of bopping it over the front of the green and ending up having to another 20, 30 yard pitch shot on your hands coming back up. So again, great par hole, which is what I ended up making. I think I hit, oh, driver 7 iron into this hole. So again, for a 440 yard hole, it plays long, and you just kind of got to be smart about that and know that that's probably going to be the case. But even though three's kind of got some teeth, you get a really cool stretch coming up on four and five. And four is a drivable par four, only measures 300 yards, 304 to be exact from the tips by the card, and downwind. But this is a really, really pretty hole because you are at an elevated tee. It drops way down, super wide landing area, and then it goes back uphill to the green. But realistically, from tee to green, you're probably looking at a pretty equal elevation. So just kind of aesthetics as far as elevation change goes there, if you're going to take a cut at it. And I do say take a cut literally, figuratively, because to me, there's the hill on the left. I mean, you're coming back up, but there's slope to the left where it will kick your ball back to the right. Right is absolute jail. Four border is the border of the property, so if you miss right, you're in the woods, probably out of bounds, and it's not a good situation. So I don't even bring right into play, even though I'm a drawer of the golf ball. I always, always, always aim up the left side of this hole, and there's small trees up there. You're effectively aiming back at three tee box, but again, there's space, and so missing left is 100 times better than missing right. So I always hit the 3 wood and just kind of try and play a high fade. And I've driven this green a few times, and it's super cool because it's a huge putting surface. And even though you drive the green, it's still not a guaranteed 2-putt birdie because, like I said, I've been on this green one multiple times, and I have 3-putted for par multiple times. So it's just kind of the way this particular hole works. And I did not drive the green this time. I ended up like hanging it out there to the left, leaving myself a pitch shot. And this green slopes pretty significantly from back left to front right. So I was kind of pitching across the slope. The pin was front right, but hit it a little hard, flew it a little further into the green than I anticipated, and it just kind of released. Didn't have a lot of spin coming out of the left rough, even especially for a 30-yard pitch shot. Ended up running about 12 feet, 15 feet by, and just didn't make the putt for birdie. So kind of cruise to a par there, which on a 300-yard par four, that's one that you kind of want to take advantage of and have an opportunity to get. Did not do that, but that's okay. No harm, no foul with pars. Par is never a bad score on any hole. especially going to the next hole, the par five. And this is the only par five in the front nine. I should have mentioned that earlier. This is a par 70 golf course, so I don't play a lot of par 70 tracks around here. So that's another reason why I kind of enjoy the Mines. It's just a little bit different of a kind of a design and different caliber of golf. And the first par five, I will tell you what, for being only a 6,700 yard golf course, the first and only par five on the front nine is 610 yards. And it's a scary 610 yards because this is probably, I'm going to say this, this is probably my second least favorite hole on the front nine. And only because six is my least favorite hole on the front nine. And not because it's bad. They're not bad holes. There's not holes that fit me and that fit my game. So 610 yard par five downhill. The advantage here is the fact that this par five, the fifth, shares a fairway with nine. So you have a super wide fairway if you're smart. And I say if you're smart because I know a lot of guys that more often than not are still going to hit driver on this hole, even though it doesn't really benefit you whatsoever. And I say that because one of the characteristics of the Mines are some, they've got rolling hills with kind of some long fescue grass. And it's not long, thick fescue like you might get at the Meadows or like at Macatawa, like I've mentioned. It's long fescue grass that you're going to be able to find your ball in 90% of the time, and you're going to be able to hit out of, but it is penalizing because you're not going to be able to take a full cut, and it's wispy enough where it will grab the shaft and the hosel and influence the face. So, I mean, even if you are in the long grass, you're going to want to take your medicine and get out and get back in business. This hole also borders the property, so if you miss right, you're going to be sending it down O'Brien Drive, and there are cars over there, so it's honestly, it's one of the scarier tee shots for me. I've never hit driver here. I always hit 4-iron, and which sounds crazy. It's a 600-yard hole. Why are you hitting a 4-iron off the tee? I'm doing that because it puts me in the fattest part of the fairway. I don't think I've ever missed this fairway because of that fact, and I'm short of the big fescue-y berm that kind of cuts in and really narrows the landing area, and then it's a three-shot hole anyway, so you're going to lay up, and that's just kind of how I strategize and how I kind of course manage the hole. And so for me, it's a 4-iron, usually a 6-iron, and then usually a wedge, and that's kind of just, I know that's how I'm going to play the hole every time. And this particular day, it worked out in my favor. I pulled the 4-iron a little left off the tee, but again, it's a huge landing area, so I was actually probably closer to 9 fairway / in 9 fairway than I was in 5 fairway, but it's all the same. And the tough thing about going left, though, I will say, is if you do kind of favor the fat of the fairway, you are going to have a blind second shot layup where you kind of got to just pick a target in the trees behind the green. So there's a huge wall of trees. You're going to want to take the cart or walk and just kind of buzz up to the where you can kind of see your target and then pick a treetop. Pick the top of a tree that says, hey, this is going to be my line. If I miss a little right, it's fine. If I miss a little left, it's fine. But laying up to that 100 to 120 yard is going to be primo because too much further, if you hug the left side, it does kick down left into a pit. Again, more long grass, more trouble, more trees. There's just kind of nothing good that comes of that. And again, right side is O'Brien Street. So you don't want to go in the road. You don't want to go by the fence, stuff like that. So 4-iron, 6-iron for me left me a pitching wedge that I just kind of punched in there from about 125-ish, 130, and ended up about 8 feet below the hole. Middle pin location on this particular day. So I left this one below the hole to the left. And it's just a nice, easy uphill putt. Ended up making the birdie. So that was cool. Back to even par. And this green, it can be tough because depending on the further back and to the right on the green you are, the more slope there is. But the front left and then middle section is very, very friendly. And this is probably one of the friendliest greens on the golf course, in my opinion. So a good one to take advantage of, even though it can be a long hole. So six, my least favorite hole on the front nine. And I say that because it's only 356 yards. I don't think I've ever birdied this hole. And it's another one where I don't hit driver because you're perched up on these tees that kind of aim you up the right side of this golf hole. There's trees up the right that are not fun. You don't want to play in those. There's bunkering up the left, which is fine because they're great targets. And I don't like to hit cuts, as you guys know. I play the draw. That's my strong shot. So I'm going to hit the iron here, aim up the middle of this fairway, and let it kind of bleed left and fall towards the bunkers, knowing I'm not going to get to them. So I usually end up hitting 4 iron off this tee, and it's usually a 4 iron and then either a 9 or an 8, because the second shot is kind of back uphill to an elevated putting surface. The nice thing is this hole kind of runs southwest, southeast to northwest, so you're kind of any wind that's going to be blowing is going to be predominantly into and quartering off the left, so that helps me hit the confident shot that I need to and play the draw, hold the wind, and just end up in the center middle left side of the fairway, which is what I did. But this green is a dirty green. This green has a very, very tiny back left corner where I've seen the pin cut far too many times for my liking. And it has a very, very tiny front right corner, which is guarded by a very, very deep bunker. And on this particular day, if the pin's not middle of the green, honestly, it doesn't much matter. And I should mention this sooner. I should talk about this because, from a course management standpoint, whether you're trying to score and, or whether you're trying to play a good round, maybe shoot a personal best, whatever you're trying to do, you can never go wrong aiming at the middle of the green, regardless of where the flag is at. Because I forget what the percentage is, and I could throw out some abstract number, but if you aim at the middle of the putting surface on every single hole, you're probably not going to have more than 25 to 30 feet for birdie on any given opportunity. So the Mines, to me, is that golf course. If you hit to the middle of every green on the at the Mines, you're probably best off doing that, because if you get bold, you get aggressive, you take a shot at the wrong hole location, you are going to be toast. And for us on this particular day, this pin was front right. I tried hitting a 9 iron in there because uphill, and I hit a 9 iron from what should have been an 8 iron yardage. It was about 160 yards, but the uphill and stuff in the front hole location, I thought I could jump a 9 and just kind of squeeze it to the right side, which I did, but it came up short in the bunker. And that putting surface is easily at least 10 feet above you, if not more. And so you are having to hit a high, soft bunker shot to a pin that is literally right over the front edge, it seems like. So a very difficult shot. I ended up making bogey and back to one over par. 7 and 8. I kind of put these two holes together because they are back-to-back par threes, which you don't play a lot of back-to-back par threes, and so that's kind of fun. But 7 is cool because 7 is straight downhill. It's 155 yards straight down the hill, and no more than a 9 iron, maybe a wedge. You've got a huge green. You've got a backstop. You do have a front bunker that really protects the putting surface, kind of front left. And if you do go long, you're not gonna want to go long. I'll just say that. There's rough behind the green, but it does go up to kind of the long, wispy, fescue grass. You're gonna end up with kind of a native area type lie where it's gonna be sandy, it's gonna be dirty, it's gonna be patchy. So don't go long. Downhill, I do see a lot of guys end up going long on this hole because the downhill just kind of takes so much off of it that if you hit your normal 155 shot, you're probably gonna be over the back. So, but with that being said, it's a big putting surface, big front right section, kind of gets narrower as you go back left. This particular day, the pin was back left. What I like about that for me is I hit the 9 iron still. That's my stock 9, but I don't hit it full, of course. I kind of dial it back and put the ball in the back of my stance, and the wind is predominantly kind of quartering out of the right on this hole. So I kind of trap draw one in there and took the opportunity to do that. Ended up leaving myself personally about maybe 12, 15 feet to that back left hole location and two putted for par. So not an opportunity that I really normally think of. I don't think this is a birdie hole. I don't think of any par threes really as birdie holes for some reason. And maybe that's something I should work on psychologically. But par is always a good score on 7, and then on to 8. And 8, again, second par three. This is definitely not a birdie hole. This is the weirdest. I almost was going to say this is the weirdest green on the golf course, but I'd probably say that again later on because there's plenty more weird greens on this golf course. But this is a par three, 156 yards from the back, but this is going to play into the wind every single time. So again, 156-ish, that for me is a stock nine. I'm going to hit nine iron every time from that yardage unless there's variables. And the variable here is into the wind and slightly uphill-ish. Probably one of the biggest greens, if not the absolute biggest green on the golf course. There's bunkers left, there's bunkers long. But I've talked before about greens that are segmented, and this puts all of those other segmented greens to shame because this green literally has like a plus sign in the middle of it. It's a big circular green with a huge ridge that runs right down the middle. And then a huge ridge that runs right down the middle, right to left. So you've got front to back, right to left. So you effectively have pretty much four quadrants to this green. The ridge that runs across the green laterally is more significant than the one that runs kind of like straight down the target line. So you do have a, it's, you could call it maybe front and then middle, huge, ridiculous hill shelf, and then back. But and I can't tell you again, this kind of goes back to the same old dirty hole locations I've talked about in previous podcasts. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this pin cut in the middle of this green, either middle left, middle right on the spine. And it drives me nuts because you're going to come up short if you're maybe kind of playing it smart or conservatively. And you're going to have a putt where you are putting up to the pin. Again, thank goodness that these greens aren't too fast because otherwise you're going to burn rubber right over that ridge and go right down the back of the green and you're going to leave yourself 15 feet coming back for par. And then same goes if you end up past this pin. If you end up flying at pin high, you are absolutely going to take one hop, roll down the slope, and you're going to end up with 25 feet coming back up the hill for birdie and another putt where you're going to go up. If you hit the precipice with a little too much speed, you're going to be buzzing down to the front of the green and have another putt that's about equidistant coming back for par. So it's no bargain. I personally hit a 7-iron here, came up just short of kind of pin high, which to me is always the goal with this middle pin. If I can drive one into the slope, that's kind of the money shot. I left myself about 12 feet probably, so as good of a birdie opportunity as you could have. And I hit this one way too hard. And had no business going in, but happened to hit the back of the cup and dropped. Kind of one of those ones that hits the back edge, kind of pops up a little bit, and then falls to the bottom of the cup. And thank goodness it did that, because if it didn't, I'm going to have one of those nasty comebackers for par that I was just telling you guys about. But snuck a birdie on a hole that for me is not a birdie hole. So always cool to put a two on the card and get back to even par. Nine, coming back to the clubhouse again, as I mentioned, nine shares the fairway with five, which is super cool. And it's a driver hole all day. Back into the wind, 400 yards. There's a great tree to aim at that's kind of up there on the corner of the fairway. And you can kind of hit a little fade off it. The right side of this hole slopes hard left. So if you do kind of bleed one out to the right, you're most of the time going to get a pretty friendly kick. It might kick back down into the fairway. It might not. If it doesn't, you're going to have a little bit of a tougher lie with the ball above your feet. And sometimes even if it does just creep into the fairway, you'll still end up with the ball above your feet. So on this hole, I always aim left. Again, kind of play back towards five fairway. And for me, not being a fader of the golf ball, I need to kind of tee that ball low and just kind of squeeze it. It's got to kind of be a trap. Trap fade for me, which is not going to go quite as far, but it's going to be consistent. Except for today, way over squeezed it and ended up missing right, but not out of play by any means. There's long fescue grass up there on the hillside between 9 and 10, because 10 is up on top of this hill. We'll get there in a minute, but I ended up kind of leaking it right and hitting an 8 iron onto the green because it didn't go very far. It was kind of a weak squeezy fade. And by fade, I really actually kind of mean slice. But anyway, on into two putts. This is another green where you're hitting up the hill. You don't want to come up short because you'll be in the face. And it's kind of no bargain there. There is a bunker short left, there's a bunker short right, and there is a bunker back left and a bunker back right. And just kind of a of Hilla Rough, kind of back towards the clubhouse, which sits up on top of the hill behind nine. So it's a really cool second shot coming in. But another one where you do have a kind of a back shelf to this green and a front shelf. So you've got to be aware of, hey, where's that pin at? Is it front? Is it middle? Is it back? Where do I want to be to give myself the best opportunity at par? For us, the pin was front middle, so I kind of just put one up there, middle right side of the green, and had just kind of a putt across, which had a pretty significant amount of break in it. But again, the greens were a super friendly speed, so it was an easy two putt for par to go out in 35. So that was super cool. I can't remember. I wish I could remember where my buddy was at, because we had a good competition going, and at this point, and so I want to say he was like two under maybe. I think he shot 33 to my 35, so he had a couple strokes on me heading to the back nine. And going to the back nine, like I said, 10. So now we're back up on top of this hill to the right of nine and heading back again west to east. So this hole is straight downhill or downwind. I'm sorry. You can't really see the fairway because it is slightly elevated, but it's flat. It's just an easy hole, 367 yards. And I gotta tell you guys about this one, because this gives me just chills. And it's kind of funny thinking back on this one, because I hit iron off of this tee. It's just kind of what I do. It's a super wide fairway. There's trees up the left, trees, long grass, and then straight downhill back to hole nine on the right. So it's not something that I kind of want to mess with. But if you guys have been listening to the pod for a while now, I tend to play more conservative than I do aggressive, and maybe I should work on that. Maybe that I could shoot lower scores if I didn't do that, because maybe I'm not taking advantage of some opportunities that I could be taking advantage of if I wasn't so careful. I tend to guard against bogey and double more than I try and gun for birdie slash eagle, I guess. But my buddy, anyway, we're straight downwind and the fan is blowing. And so I'm telling him, I'm like, dude, the course is playing pretty firm. I mean, the fairways have been bouncing. We're straight downwind. I'm like, I think you can drive this green, man. And he goes, I've never done it before, but maybe you're right. And so anyway, we've got a group behind us that ended up catching us. They're standing there waiting. I've got a group, the cart path that runs across 10 tee box from the back tee. There's a little bit of a gap, and then the cart path runs through, and that's the cart path that goes over to one. And so there's a group waiting to kind of cross through. And at this point, everybody sees that, hey, the next group in front of us is on the green. What's this kid waiting for? And so I think they're kind of just kicking back, like waiting to watch the show. And I'm glad that they did, because my buddy just hit the highest, nastiest bomb, and this thing is just on the stick the entire way. And the guys that were kicking back watching probably didn't expect this outcome, but he hits this shot, and you just hear one of the guys in the cart go, "Holy bleep." And it was just one of those moments where you just can't help but smile and kind of laugh. And we walk back to the cart. My buddy puts his driver back in the bag and just goes about his business. And we get up there, and my 4 irons casually in the middle of the fairway, about 105, maybe 100 yards out, nothing crazy. And there's my buddy about 15, 18 feet pin high right, looking at an eagle putt. And I'm like, you dog. Not only did he drive the green, but he hits it closer than most people probably hit their approach shots into 10. So that was super cool to see. He did end up making birdie and took a few shot lead on me, because I did end up flipping another wedge in there to a respectable distance, but nothing close. This green is kind of unique, and thankfully for us, it was a middle back hole location. This green has kind of a shelf on the right that wraps around to the front, but then the back and the middle back kind of end up being kind of a bit of a bowl. And so you could kind of flip one in there, and you leave yourself a pretty good look at it, and a pretty flat putt, so nothing crazy. I end up two putting for par, and on to the next. And the next is a cool hole. 11 is a par 3, but they've got two separate sets of tees here. So you can either play this hole from down back where you played 9. The back tees on 9 kind of piggyback onto the tees on 11, and so it's kind of a unique design there. Or they can shove you back to the left, they can keep you up to the left of 10. and you can hit down into the screen from a completely different angle, and it measures 228 yards. So you're looking at 165 or 228, depending on where they put the tees. And so that makes this a really cool hole, not only from a distance perspective, but you're hitting at the green from two very opposite angles. I mean, you're coming in on one section from 165, you're going from the south to the north, and which really opens up the putting surface, and you're kind of hitting into the hill. If you're coming from 228, you're going downhill to a green that's much, much narrower right to left and kind of deeper front to back, but the slope and the predominant kind of undulation in the green runs left to right. And so it's two very, very different holes depending on where those tees are. Either way, we played it down back kind of where it is traditionally, I think, where it kind of shares the box with nine. And for us, it's a front left greenside bunker. There's kind of a pretty big hill, a pretty big ridge that kind of bisects the green. So the front left side is a bit of a bowl, and then the middle right is kind of a top shelf. And for us, that pin was in the bowl. I squeezed an 8 iron with a kind of a, when I say squeeze, I always mean kind of like trap fade. So I'm going to hit down on it, pinch it a little tighter. The face is going to be open, and it's going to be kind of a spinny little cut shot. And so from 165, I kind of did that and just rode the wind in there to make sure that if I did end up going past the pin, I'd have at least a chance of catching the backstop and bringing it back a little bit, which is exactly what happened. And I ended up with about 2.5 feet for birdie, which I did make, and got to put my second two on the card. So not only my second two, but my third birdie in 6 holes, 7 holes, third birdie in 7 holes to get it into red figures. So now I'm back to one under, and my buddy actually bogeyed this hole, so I ended up a little bit of a 2-shot swing there, so that was cool. And that is the beginning for me of kind of a stretch that it's not a gas pedal stretch, but it's also not a buckle up stretch. It's kind of unique. So the next hole 12, is a par 4, only 341, back downhill. So this is actually a hole where you kind of think if you muscle up and just smoke one. My buddy, he tries to go for this green a lot. You guys guessed it, I hit iron. I mean, it's just kind of what I do. And the reason for that is because this green is ridiculous. Not only is the green ridiculous, but there's fairway bunkering, and it's not even really fairway bunkering, it's approach bunkering. So if you end up 30, 40 yards short of this green, you're potentially in a bunker. There's two bunkers there that'll catch your ball, leaving you an incredibly awkward length bunker shot. Or there's greenside bunkers right that'll also catch it. But this is another green that's, it's goofy, it's segmented. There's spines, there's ridges, there's shelves, there's plateaus. And so the common theme around the mines is you need to be precise with your second shot. And for me, I'm more likely to be precise with a wedge from anywhere from 70 to 75 yards back to 110 maybe. And so that's what I play for. I just laid back, flipped a wedge in there. Unfortunately, caught the wrong side of a slope and ended up with about a 30 footer for birdie, which I was thankfully able to two putt for par. But again, it's just one of those where you need to know where that flag is at. You got to get your distances dialed in, and you've got to just know where the proper place to miss is, because if you get too aggressive and you miss in the wrong spot, you're going to have a tough time two putting and or getting up and down if you miss the greens. So just be aware of that when you play the mines, because it can be a very, very tricky second shot golf course. And going to 13, 13 is, in my opinion, the hands down most difficult hole on the course. It is a par 4. It's 470 yards uphill, dogleg right, and always into the westerly wind. And so it is a freaking long hole, and I've mashed driver. There's a bunker up the right side, kind of on the corner, that you can aim at. There's plenty of room left. The fairway's to the left. If you end up in the bunker, okay. If you end up right of the bunker, you're in some of that long stringy hay that I was talking about that you can get out of, but it's just no bargain. But I smoked driver on this hole, and I've still got 215 yards in, because it's just the wind is, it blows so hard out there sometimes. And on this particular day, I hit driver 4 iron and still came up, I think, about 15 yards short of this green, and came up short to a green that you can't see. The second shot's uphill, you can't see the putting surface, you can see the flag. So again, not only can you like not only do you have a hard time gauging distance and getting the yardage right and being confident in your club selection, but you almost might as well play as a 3-shot hole because this green is another ridiculous one. It's huge front to back. It's got slope. It's kind of a back shelf and again a kind of a bottom front shelf. For us, the pin was in the front, so unfortunately for me, I wish I kind of would have muscled up on a 3-iron and at least give myself an opportunity to get there. We were trying to jump a 4-iron was probably not the proper play and came up short again about 15 yards, front hole location, out of the rough. There was really no chance for me to stop it, even with a higher soft shot. So I ended up bouncing and rolling about 8 feet by and did not make the comeback of the par. So I'm back to even. For the day, I can't remember what my buddy did, but again, we still had a pretty close and pretty good match going. But that's a hole where honestly, 470 uphill into the wind, five is never a bad score. Obviously, you want to make four and kind of get out of there with a par. Birdie is highly unlikely. It takes two good shots and a good putt to make that three. So five, all things considered, no problem for me. I'm okay with that, especially going back up to 14. 14 again goes back the opposite direction. It's 398 yards, so not too long, but it's back downwind and it's kind of a tricky hole, but it favors me. So there's a left fairway bunker that will catch a lot of golf balls, and if it does, again, it's a pit and you're gonna have to wedge it out because it's, gosh, I can't think of what the yardage is to the green from where that fairway bunker is at, but it's got to be around 110 to 120-ish if I were to guess. But again, if you're in that bunker, you've got to come up about 10 to 12 feet at least to just cover the lip. So you're going to be wedging out and just playing a third shot from the fairway. That's the smart play and probably the only play. I've never actually been in the bunker myself, so and I don't want to be. So I can't speak to that so much, but there's plenty of room right. It's a slight dog leg left. So for me, I aim up the right side of this, kind of in the fat portion of the fairway, and just try and smoke a high draw because I can cover that bunker. And if I do, it leaves me a flip wedge in there from 65 to maybe 80 yards, which is a go zone on this hole most of the time. And I say that because most of the time the pin is cut middle right on this hole, and middle right is an absolute bowl. It's a beautiful little spot where everything you hit funnels right down to the pin. So if you hit long, it'll come back off the hill. If you hit pin high left, it funnels down to the right. If you land short, it'll bounce and roll down into the bottom of the bowl, and you're gonna have a good opportunity at birdie. However, for us this particular day, the pin was back left, and I got a little greedy coming off the bogey, trying to flip a wedge in there tight. And flew it about pin high and then one hopped off the back. So, not position A, but fluffy rough. I was able to kind of open the face on a lob wedge and just kind of pop one out high and soft, landed in the fringe and let it release a little bit. So, I ended up getting up and down for par, thankfully. But it was more work than you kind of want to have into a par four when you're flipping a wedge from 65, 70 yards. So, but a good golf hole. Good golf hole, but again, you got to know where the flag's at. And even though it's not an uphill second shot, just the way the contour of the fairway is, the green does actually sit down below the surface, kind of below the fairway. So you can't see the putting surface when you're hitting your second shot. So again, it's a tough one to gauge distance, tough one to judge, tough one to commit to. And so even though it's a friendly hole off the tee, it's going to get you on the approach. So be mindful of that. But going to the next hole, the final par three of the day and of the golf course, it's a short one. It's 140 yards, and I mean it's short, but it has no shortage of teeth, no shortage of bite to it. For me, it's a pitching wedge, but you're going back up the hill slightly. However, it is predominantly downwind, so I kind of use those two factors to negate each other. It's not uphill enough where it's you got to take that into account, especially if the wind is blowing, because any downwind is traditionally kind of going to help kind of counteract that uphill. But it's a pretty friendly green with the exception of one portion of it. There is some bunkering there that you kind of got to be aware of. It's got a bunker short left. That's another kind of pit of a bunker. If you're in that one, you're going to have an uphill. You're going to have to cover the lip, so you're going to have to hit it high, hit it soft. There's a bunker front middle that kind of protects any pin that's cut on the front edge. And then there's a bunker that's kind of middle greenish to the right that'll catch anything that drifts to the right, because the way this hole is designed, there it's kind of a hill to the right side, so it kind of your eye wants to aim right and let it kind of fall to the left. Even I gotta imagine, I don't know, if you're not a drawer of the golf ball, I still think that's kind of probably the most attractive visual, because that pit of a bunker to the front left is no bargain, and I don't think anybody wants to be in that. So left is no good. So I think more people aim right than not. And this green will get you because, again, the front is a nice friendly bowl. If you cover the bunker and cover the front edge of the green, you're going to have a good look at birdie. However, I've seen them cut a tough hole location on the back right corner. And the back right is a nice, cozy little shelf about the size of the hood of your Volkswagen. And you hear guys kind of make that analogy and that joke, but it's, I kid you not, it is like landing on the hood of a freaking car back there. It's crazy. And I've seen that cup cut back there so many times. And even with a wedge, you open the face. For me, I try and kind of hit a pitching wedge that's high, soft, with a little bit of fade spin. If you land it on that back shelf, you're going to bounce off the back and have a tricky little chip shot to try and save par. If you come up short, you're going to have a pretty tricky putt going up the slope to that pin. But it's the lesser of two evils, so middle of the green is definitely good on 15. And going to 16, 16 is a cool hole to me. It's one of the tougher holes, definitely a difficult hole. Looking at the card here, it's the number two handicap hole on the course. And it's 475 yards, par four, back into the wind, dogleg right. The reason I don't hate this hole, there is some fairway bunkers that are gonna bite a lot of guys. There's a fairway bunker on the right. There's actually three fairway bunkers there. But if you're playing the back tees from 475, it takes a bomb to get to them if you aim at them. But you really don't even want to aim at them. The nice thing is it is safe over there. A lot of guys that play 16 parallels 14. So if you're in the right rough on 16, you're just kind of over in the right rough on 14. So it's not really too troublesome. Except for the fact that you're kind of down in this little valley, and you, again, common theme, can't see the putting surface, can't see the landing area, are going to have a tough time gauging distance, and you're probably going to have a fairway wood for a second shot, because it's a long hole, 475 from the backs. But I mean, again, if you play even from the blues, it's 456 from the blues, so you don't even get to 388 until you get to the gold tees. So it's just a meaty golf hole. I aim up the left side of this one because 16 also parallels 17 on the left. 17 is the only par five on the back nine, so that's a friendly hole. You do have the opportunity to miss left and be fine. But the further left you can go and keep it in the fairway on 16, you can, if you hit it far enough, you can get up into the flat. And from the flat, that's when you can see the putting surface. You can see the whole green, and you know what you have to work with. Nine times out of 10, when I play here, the pin is cut in the front left, which is another really super friendly bowl of a hole location that everything follows the front left, and it's a riot because you can, for me, I hit driver 7 iron, and you can hit front right, you can hit middle, you can hit middle left, and you're gonna kind of funnel your way down into this bowl on that portion of the green, so you're gonna have a pretty good look at birdie. And if it's not there, if the pin's not cut down there, the rest of the green is just kind of elevated and pretty flat. There's not a whole lot of trouble there. You can kind of miss right and leave yourself a decent little pitch shot. There's no bunkering, no nothing there. So if you can get on or around this green, it's a relatively one of the easier probably up and downs, assuming you're not pitching back downhill into the pit on the front left of this green. So I like this hole. For some reason, it's been a birdie hole for me, even though it is kind of a difficult hole. But this particular day, I kind of hit one in there pin high right, and the pin was cut up middle on kind of the top shelf, and just two putter for par. So I don't think I told you what I did on the last hole. Anyway, last hole, par three, I didn't make par, flipped a pitching wedge in there, two putted, no big deal. On to 17. 17 is the second and only par five on the back nine. So, I mean, you're two par fives on the whole golf course. You want to take advantage of these. I got lucky or fortunate enough to birdie this, the first one on the front nine there, the 607 yarder. And 17 to me is the birdie. It is the birdie hole on the golf course because I like to, even though I'm a drawer of the golf ball and this hole is a dogleg left, technically, the tee is elevated. You go back down the hill and then the fairway kind of goes up, hits a kind of a little crest in the fairway, and then drops down to the left again. So it's a great hole to hit a high draw. It's always downwind, but I never hit a high draw here. And the reason for that is there's trouble right. You go to the right, you're in the long grass, the wispy stuff, and it does tend to be thicker over there than most areas. I don't know if it's because it just kind of holds water down there and the grass grows quite healthily, is that a word? Healthily. Either way, don't go there. It's not good. It's not worth the trouble. So for me, I aim left, and there is a line of trees up the left side of 17 that kind of splits 16, 17. But if you hit it high enough, and if you hit it far enough, you can cover these trees and you can catch the downslope, and you can hit an absolute bomb on this hole. And it is a super, super fun hole. And so I aim at those trees, open the face a little on the driver, kind of set up like I'm going to hit a cut. And if I open my stance, open the club face, and if I swing hard, I think I've mentioned this in a previous podcast, 90% of the time I can kind of get squared up where I just hit a high straight one. And I love catching it high on the face because it comes out with that really high penetrating trajectory, low spin, and it's just a nuke. And you cover those trees, you cover the hill, and I actually hit, this is a 407, no, I'm sorry, 533 yard par five from the tips. I hit driver 8 iron into this hole. I had 166 yards or something like that. And just if the course is playing firm and fast like it has been all summer long, it's one where if you catch the backside of this slope, you can just rip it down there and leave yourself short iron in. And I hit, like I said, 8 iron, although it's not a bargain of a second shot. If you are further back, it's not super, super easy. There is a front right greenside bunker, but the green is elevated, so you are hitting back uphill. But it's kind of a little bit of an amphitheater type green. And so you've got hill on the left, hill behind, and so you kind of have that added protection knowing that I can hoist one in there, and long isn't really something I have to worry about. And if I'm short, I'm still pitching back up the hill into the green and pretty good. The green is just kind of mildly undulated. It does have some contours to it. The only really hard pin location on 17 is if you get one in the middle back right, because they'll tuck it over that bunker. And that's an absolute no-go. You don't want to do that. Don't even flirt with that hole location because if you come up short, you're in the bunker. Tough bunker shot. If you miss right, it kind of bounds down the hill towards the cart path. And because everybody walks up to the green from there, you're going to end up with a pretty tight lie more often than not, leaving yourself a really difficult pitch shot. And you're probably short-sighted, obviously, if that pin's cut back there. So, word of advice, aim short left. If you're not entirely confident that you're going to get this green in two, aim at the front left side because you're going to leave yourself with just an awesome pitch, a very good opportunity to get up and down for birdie. I ended up hitting that 8 iron in there pretty darn tight, kind of carved one in there, took the slope nice off the left side, bounced down to like 6 feet, and my goofy self thought this 6 footer, just because of the way the topography is around this hole, like I said, all the hill kind of coming down off the back left. I thought for sure this was going to be an outside the left edge putt. And so I hit it outside the left edge, just probably hit it too hard. Ended up running about 8 inches, 10 inches by, which is not a bad speed to hit a putt, especially an eagle putt, but it just never broke. And so kind of an easy two putt birdie. However, that easy two putt birdie did get me back to one under par for the day. Heading to 18, which 18 is, it's 18. I would love if 18 was 9, or if 9 was 18. How do you want to say that? I think 9 is a much, much better finishing hole than 18. 18 is straight away 468 yards. You're on an elevated tee, it kind of drops down and the fairway comes back up. So you're going to end up hitting into the flat of the fairway if you hit it far enough. Again, into the wind, sometimes if it is blowing super hard, the flat of the fairway, the top of the hill, is tough to get to if you don't bomb it from the back tees. But if you're playing the back tees, you're probably a bomber anyway. So the flat is going to be kind of your go zone. And but again, it's not an easy hole because into the wind, even if you do hit one, say hypothetically 300 yards and you're in the flat, you've still got 170 yards into this green, and it goes back downhill to a total like turtle shell green. So you're kind of perched up on this little hill. If you miss short, you're toast. Not toast, that's dramatic. But depending on how far short you are, you do have a significant uphill pitch shot where if you're, I would guess if you're any more than 30 yards short of the green, you're hitting uphill to the point where you can't see the putting surface. It's going to be above your head. So that makes it tough. If you're right, you're toast. If you're left, you're toast because it's not a super narrow green, but it is definitely a narrower green. One of the more friendly ones. It's not doesn't have any kind of undulation. There's no wicked shelves or slopes. It's pretty straightforward. But if you miss it, it's going to be tough. If you miss anything more than just short or just long or just off the right or left edge, it's a tough up and down. I happen to hit driver into the middle right side of this fairway, and then kind of there's a tree that comes into play. If you do end up too far right, there's a kind of a group of big trees, and one of them kind of overhangs that right side of the fairway, right rough. So you either have to go under it, over it, or around it. And so from a 7 iron yardage for me, I took a 6 iron and just aimed at the left side of this green and just kind of squeezed the 6 iron out there with a little fade and ended up catching the front right corner of this putting surface where it was a middle right hole location. So nothing that was going to hurt me by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not an easy finishing hole. And like I said, I mean, 9 is a much more of a grand finish to kind of go down the hill with your tee shot, super wide fairway, up to the kind of amphitheater putting surface right in front of the right behind the clubhouse. It's a super cool approach. 18 just kind of is 18. So if you knock it on 2, it's a pretty easy 2 putt for par, which is exactly what I did to come in 34. So out in 35, in 34, and for me, that was a 69, 1 under par, and that was actually kind of a huge confidence boost for me a few weeks back when this round occurred because it was my first sub 70 round in quite a bit. And at the Mines, sub 70 is still good, even though it's a shorter golf course, 6,700 yards. Being a par 70, it still has a lot of meat to it, as you could tell with some long par fours, and especially into the wind. Course rating's only 71.6. So not too bad, but I will say this course can be mean and nasty if they had the greens rolling very, very quickly. If the greens are firm and fast, this could be one of the most challenging golf courses around, I think. And I would love for them to play a tough man here. I don't know that they do, but if they did, it would be a tough man. So I love tough man tournaments, especially in the fall when conditions get cool, it gets windy again. And you can get a course playing very firm, very fast, and you could seriously cut some of the nastiest pin locations on these greens. And gosh, I wouldn't even want to guess what a winning score would be in a tough man. If you like a lot of the tough mans around here that I play in, they're 3-person scrambles, and a lot of times the winning score is maybe 7 or 8 under par if you get a group that is hot. And I mean hot. A lot of times I'll play with guys and we usually put together some pretty good teams, and I'll play in a tough man where we'll shoot four or five under, and we feel really good about it because it's a really, really tough golf course. That's when they stretch it out, they play you all the way back, right foot in the rough, or left foot if you're left-handed, and they just cut the nastiest pin locations. Everything's fast and just ridiculous. This course could do that, and if they did do that, it would be nuts and I would love it. But they don't, so that's okay. And I know a lot of guys that play in league out there, and it's a super fun time. I've subbed in league out there before. My buddy that I played with this particular day, that his family again sold the land to the people that built the mines, he had a hole in one out here. I forget which hole. I wish I knew because I'd tell you guys about that. But he got a hole in one, subbing in league out here. Super fun golf course. And they've been busy this year. Obviously with COVID, I mean, people are playing a lot of golf, and the Mines is one of those courses that has drawn a lot of business. They've been very, very busy, just kind of wall to wall packed from sunup to sundown. If you are on Instagram, I highly recommend you give their page a follow. And there's two pages actually on Instagram for the Mines. There's the Mines has their own Instagram, and then the Mines Grounds Crew has an Instagram. And I follow the Grounds Crew. They post a bunch of really killer photos and videos. They'll show some behind the scenes maintenance stuff. Top dressing, rolling greens, doing the daily care for the golf course. But one of my favorite things about golf course maintenance when I used to work it is the fact that you're out there at the crack of dawn. And golf courses are so beautiful when it's that early in the morning and they're untouched. And it's a really, really cool page to follow. So I shout out to the Mines Grounds Crew. You guys, whoever's posting those pics and those videos, it's you guys do an awesome job. The course is beautiful. It's been in killer shape this year. So if you haven't played the Mines, as always, get out there, check it out, book a tee time. You can jump on their website. Rates are reasonable. I couldn't guess what the peak season rates are right now, but since we're getting past that Labor Day holiday, kind of the end of season rates go into effect. And like I said, just shout out to the grounds crew because they're doing an awesome job. And the course is killer. They got a good practice facility too. The practice green is fun. It's not one that you want to go to practice like with a purpose, but if you want to go practice to have fun, tons of undulation on the practice green. It's really cool to get out there and have chipping contests, putting contests. They do have a driving range with another pitching area. That's really cool. I don't practice out there a ton, but it is fun when I do. Just because the pitching area is cool. They got some good bunkering and you can kind of practice some decent bunker shots, stuff like that. But anyway, I hope you guys check it out. The Mines is awesome. Thanks again for tuning into the Michigan Golf Podcast. As always, love the listenership. I'll post something on the Instagram, so follow me there at gsmithgolf. And again, getting out with hopefully Paul. He is not yet confirmed, but we'll see. We're playing Stoughton Bray tomorrow, so we'll get out there and tee it up and hopefully come back with you guys for a podcast maybe Thursday or Friday. So anyway, stay tuned. Thanks again for listening to the Michigan Golf Podcast.